quit my job about a week ago. Just take a couple weeks off.
Then we wouldn't be hanging out today, Rich. Come on.
Yeah.
I know. It's today's kind of fun. Dudley's gone, so it's just Jennifer, Roberta, and myself, Rich, hanging out here while Doug is making his way from Ohio to Dallas. He will actually be in studio in Dallas here a little bit later, so he will rejoin us. Until then, Louis DeAngelis, our chef, our in-house chef, is joining us to talk about some of our favorite seasonal foods. Pumpkin pie. And everything else that you can make with pumpkins. Now, Louis, I have to admit,
pumpkins are my favorite.
Yeah, but is this... I mean, okay, we know that the, you know, pumpkins have been around as far as food for hundreds of years. I mean, with the Indians and everything. But really, kind of in our modern society, isn't pumpkins kind of really gotten the popular cooking ingredient throughout the holidays the last few years? We've always had pumpkin pie, but now we have pumpkin beer, we have pumpkin bread, we have pumpkin everything now.
You know, it's about time. You know, pumpkin is one of those kind of vegetables. You know, it's part of the cucumber family, believe it or not. And
yeah, that makes sense.
Is it really?
The
cucumbers?
Highest level. Yeah. Yeah. I can't even pronounce it. Cucurbitis, I think it's called. But it's the highest levels of vitamin A you're ever going to find on any vegetable.
Wow.
See,
loaded with antioxidants, heavy in fiber. I mean, it just became, you know, as I think what happened is as people in the last 10 years are trying to eat more healthy, they're looking towards foods that have been skipped over the years. You know, and pumpkin, you know, you only think of it once a year. It's grown year-round. And you can always get fresh pumpkin.
So... But I don't ever know of hearing anybody eat pumpkin all by itself. It's always an ingredient, right?
Well, you can't. You know, I do it all the time with pumpkin.
Yeah,
you know,
pumpkin
you can cut it in little cubes. You know, take it, cube it up, little, you know, 1-inch cubes, like almost like a hash brown type of a cut, and saute them with onions, butter, a little garlic. They're great by themselves. You know, it almost has a sweet potato flavor to it when you do it that way.
Huh.
Or you can mix it with a vegetable.
I mean,
mix
I guess
it with
not.
Green beans, and you got little cubes of pumpkin in there, and you're adding so much value to your food.
What's the difference between a pumpkin and the spaghetti squash that you gave me a recipe for a few weeks ago?
You try that?
Yeah, I did. The kids hated it. I loved it.
No, then you know it's good.
Yeah, right.
Right,
exactly.
If the kids hate it, you know it's good.
Exactly, exactly.
It passed the litmus test.
It was awesome. It was great.
Well, the difference is, you know, as a squash, I mean, it has a lot of similar flavors. But the difference is, you know, it doesn't shred like that. I mean, that's just it's a very fibrous, tuberous type of a food, the spaghetti squash, as opposed to pumpkin. It's a hard-packed food. You know?
Jennifer.
Okay, so give us pumpkin recipe. Give us some ideas to use pumpkin, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Dessert,
well,
we can have pumpkin
kind of
pie.
Obvious. You know, you take your flour, some baking soda, some bacon powder, some salt, a little sugar, and then add, for every cup of flour, add a half a cup of packed pumpkin, you know, something that you've roasted. I like doing it myself. I'll just take slices of pumpkin and roast it, take the meat, puree it. You mix it together, and you make a pumpkin pancake, okay? Now, you know what's better than that, though? If you add, make a regular pancake batter with it, with pumpkin, then add 6 eggs instead, and you're going to make it a little watery with some heavy cream.
Six eggs instead of what?
Instead of one.
Okay.
You're making pancakes.
And oh, I know where you're going with this.
You're
going
to make a crepe out of it.
Yeah.
Now, you make these paper-thin crepes, and you take last night's leftover vegetables, and you're going to saute them with a little garlic butter, like a compound butter, and you're going to fill the crepe with it and roll it up and put it on the plate along next to, like, a piece of pot roast or something.
God, yeah.
Good.
What
a little
serving.
Sweet, yum. Okay.
Oh, my good.
I mean, and you, that's just a knockout for people. It's so simple to do. There's really nothing to it. And now you got pumpkin ravioli, which is great, and that's been around for the last 12 years, a mainstay at some of the upper-end restaurants. And one of the things I like to do, oh, I think you're going to love this, pumpkin risotto. You can't imagine
what
that tastes like. Well, you take pumpkin, take your flesh part of your pumpkin, you're going to, you know, roast. You can boil it, but I like roasting it better because it brings the sugars up. And then you make a puree out of it, adding a little bit of chicken stock as you put it in your food processor. It becomes a nice watery consistency. Now you take your heavy skillet, and you're going to throw your basmati rice in there in a hot skillet and toast the rice up to get it to, so you can smell. Once you smell it, you know it's toasted. And slowly keep adding this pumpkin liquid into it. Over a half hour period, if you're using a cup of rice, you're probably going to go through 4 to 5 cups of this pumpkin liquid. And you're going to make a risotto, a creamy rice that's pumpkin flavored. And it goes so good with mushrooms in it. It's a phenomenal flavor. Phenomenal.
So, for me, I think pumpkin bread, which my wife was like, that sounds disgusting, and now absolutely is addicted to it.
No. It's great stuff.
And
especially with cinnamon and brown sugar mixed into it. That's like a pumpkin pie. Bread.
And pumpkin beer is my favorite seasonal beer. I like the winter beers better than the summer beers.
Yeah.
And the pumpkin beer. But see, to me, that sounds like an old recipe. It has to come from an old recipe. I go to the Dogfish Ale House when they, bring their new pumpkin beer out for the season. And we'll have a pumpkin beer or two, whatever. And it lasts for about a month to a month and a half through Thanksgiving. And then they get rid of it for the rest of the year. But, I mean, this has to be an old recipe. There's no way that somebody's just thinking of all of these recipes.
The bad rap pumpkin gets is people only think of it during this time of the year. You know, whereas if you incorporate it the rest of the year, I mean, you've got some great, great vitamin A.
Well, you would think Libby's would sell the cans of pumpkin year round, but they don't, do they?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, they do. Sure, they're out all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you get the one that's not for pumpkin. Get the hard packed pumpkin. Then it doesn't have any of the flavors in it. Okay. You know. Otherwise, the one pumpkin pie filling is loaded with sugar.
Yeah, cinnamon. And the worst thing is if you are doing like a pumpkin pasta or something and you get the pumpkin pie mix, bad move.
Oh, yeah.
Nasty.
Isn't that fun to say, pumpkin pasta and the pumpkin pie mix?
Pumpkin pasta, yes.
Well, you know, it's nice when you do the pumpkin pasta. You can actually make a sauce out of it by pureeing it and make a pumpkin sauce. And you add tomatoes and pumpkin go together real well.
Okay, I was about to say the pumpkin sauce doesn't sound appetizing.
I'll say, you know what goes good with pumpkin? I can't believe this, chocolate. Take a quart of ice cream and let it get to room, you know, put it out for a half an hour so it's soft. You take your pumpkin puree, you know, bake some pumpkin, get the flesh, puree it, add to it, just like you were going to make a pie, add a little bit of cream to it, brown sugar, and some pumpkin pie spice. Or what I like to use is Asian 5 spice with it. It's crazy.
Ooh.
Then you take it and swirl it into that soft ice cream with chocolate chips. Refreeze it. And you know, when you redo ice cream that you buy off the shelf, it's always better if you soften it, mix it real good, and then put it back in the freezer. You get the air out of it. Now you got a hard-packed ice cream like ice cream's supposed to be. And you have it swirled with this pumpkin pie and chocolate chip with Asian 5 spice. Oh, my God.
I mean, do you mix it completely or you just swirl it in so you have the orange and the brown?
I swirl it.
So you have the orange and brown.
I swirl it in, and it's just nuts. I mean, it's just so good.
All right,
and
so
I remember our newsletter last year. Jennifer, you had some pumpkin flavored drinks that were just knockouts.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, the pumpkin pie martini.
Yeah, that was
yummy.
The one.
Yum.
Yeah,
vanilla vodka and pumpkin
puree. But I did it.
See, it sounds good, but some of these flavors I just can't imagine together,
like
pumpkin flavored martini. Now I drink pumpkin beer; it's my favorite beer. Why can't I imagine a pumpkin flavored martini?
Yeah, it's sweet. It's a pumpkin pie flavored martini.
Yeah, but you like sweet potatoes,
so good.
Right?
Yeah, sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what your pumpkin's going to taste like once you start dressing it. It tastes like a sweet potato either way.
Yeah,
and that's everybody loves those.
And going with combos, I think sage and pumpkin are a really good match. When I do pumpkin
pasta, that one right on the head.
Yeah, sage. Yeah.
Oh, you just hit that one.
So
sage,
yum.
Paragon, and rosemary, three flavors that go great with it. Besides
right, so
the traditional cinnamon, you know, cinnamon and nutmeg.
All right, so Louie's going to tell us what the absolute knockdown, drag-out best pumpkin bread recipe is when we get right back. So stick around for the pumpkin bread recipe, piece de resistance, at 16 past the hour on Good Day.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
So, you want to lease this new space for your business. Looks like it's set up for about 50 employees, but right now you only have 19. I'm just curious, what are you going to do with the rest of the space?
outgrowing.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start today at ConstantContact.com.
Hey guys, let's face it. Prostate problems are no laughing matter. But the facts are that the older you get, the more likely it is you will have prostate problems. So if you're constantly waking up at night to go, or you can't sit through the game without feeling like you're gonna burst, then maybe it is time to do something. That's where the prostate formula from Real Health Laboratories comes in. For over 15 years, the prostate formula by Real Health Labs has been helping tens of thousands of men support normal prostate function and free urinary flow. This comprehensive formula captures the natural protective compounds and clinically studied ingredients that are known to help you maintain a healthy prostate and puts them to work for you. For a limited time, listeners of this radio station will receive a special offer by going to www.prostateformula.com. That's prostateformula.com. The Prostate Formula by Real Health is available at drugstores everywhere. Just look for the blue and white box. Sick and tired of being tired from getting up to go? Visit www.prostateformula.com to find out more.
You know, life doesn't slow down just because you have sore joints. You still have just as much to do, and you have to find a way to keep yourself moving. Fortunately for you, there's new Move Free Ultra. Just one small pill per day is more effective for sore joints than two big glucosamine and chondroitin pills. And you can believe it, because it was based on a 90-day human clinical study. Don't let sore joints slow you down or big joint care pills. Put a powerful small pill to work for you. Move on, move free with new Shift Move Free Ultra.
Advil Congestion Relief presents The Woman Who Cried Mucus. Once, there was a congested woman.
I blame mucus.
And everyone believed her.
Mucus.
But she blamed mucus one too many times.
I blame mucus.
All right, stop blaming me. Stop crying mucus when the real problem is often swelling. Try Advil Congestion Relief. It reduces swelling due to nasal inflammation.
Advil Congestion Relief. The right relief for the real problem.
Visit AdvilCongestionRelief.com. Use as directed.
So it's 19 past the hour on Good Day. Doug will be back in a few minutes. This is how confident I am in you, Louis. Louis DeAngelis, our resident chef, is on the thing. I have no idea whether Louis has a pumpkin bread recipe or not, but I just knew that if
you
I just
threw
said,
it to him, no.
I want to hear it, you're going to give it to me. All right,
well,
what is
what
it?
I would, and this, the last time I made pumpkin bread, okay, it was just it had a pumpkin flavor to it. It was just bread. I said, you know what, enough is enough. And I took my regular mix, and you can use a box mix for bread.
I've used that.
Okay. Throw in 2 cups of your pumpkin puree. It's got to be fresh. But also, do yourself a favor and cube some of the pumpkin into small cubes. Take it raw. Cut it into cubes. Saute it with onion. Okay. No garlic, just onion. Saute it for like 6 minutes till it's soft, and throw that in the mix. Now, what that does, I guess say the last 10 minutes of cooking it, wash the top with egg wash and hit it with brown sugar or turbinado sugar. Nice, you know, the coarse ground sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Bake that into it. Now your slices are going to just make you crazy, and I loved it. Because what it did was I found in every slice you find a piece of pumpkin besides the pumpkin flavor and some really sweet onion flavor in it. And it becomes, instead of a treat, it becomes a real bread.
I think on today's Louis segment, most of us have gone, more than we ever
have.
At
least 3 times,
yeah,
I think,
yeah,
we've.
Exactly. All right, there
I'm
it is.
Hungry
your,
now.
Your pumpkin fix for you at 21 past the hour on Good Day. Thank
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG. no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with OrganicaSeed.com. Easy because OrganicaSeed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to OrganicaSeed.com, spelled OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com. Remember, Organica Seed is healthy seed.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
Play it, Charlie.
Up his case, and he said, "I'll start this show and fire."
Birthday time here on Good Day. It's 23 past the hour. Doug will be back in just a couple of minutes. Jennifer, Roberta, and Rich going through the birthday list for today. And guess who's rosin' it up there, Bo, for a little birthday time?
Charlie Daniels.
That'd be it.
No,
that's it.
He's a good friend of the G-Man, Gordon Liddy, so he's been in here several times. He's all of about 5 foot nothing.
Really?
Little round guy. He looks like he'd be huge, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks tall.
Yeah, he's he's 5'6", 5'7", something like that. Nice guy. Nice, nice guy. Very cool, very cool. So I wish him a happy birthday. He turned 75 today. And, man, when this song hit the scene, I remember being a rocker. Nobody had ever heard anything like this. And we were like, wow, that guy plays that fiddle like Hendrix plays the lead guitar. So it was very cool. Curtis Lee singing Pretty Little Angel Eyes, turning 70 years old today. Now, I have a hard time believing that the singer of this song is younger than Charlie Daniels is, because this song sounds like the guy should be 100. But he turned 70 today, so happy birthday to Curtis Lee. The next birthday brings a little bit of confusion. I am. I like this guy, but now all I can think of is his naked butt. Dennis Franz's.
Dennis Franz. He was the one that did the naked butt.
67th birthday. Yeah, he turned 67 years old. Thank God we don't have to look at his butt today.
Aww. He's just kind of hiding out, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not doing a whole lot. I mean, you know, he had a great career. He always played the cop, the detective type thing, and always did a great job. He was in the Die Hard movies, and so good stuff. Happy birthday, Dennis Franz. 67 today.
Come on, baby, let's start to play. Come on, baby, let's play. Game up.
Doug would definitely be singing along to this. It's Wayne Fontana. Game of Love.
I like this one.
Yeah, it's got a nice little hook to it. Let's get it one more time. 66 today for Wayne Fontana. And he can be hanging out with his buddy Tony Orlando.
Oh, this is Doug's bestie.
Doug and Tony went to Iraq together and had a great time. And
then he doesn't call, he doesn't write.
Yeah. You know how
whatever.
It is. Yeah.
It's that Dawn does it all the time.
So Tony, what's Tony hitting there today? Oh, it's not Tony's birthday. I'm sorry. It's Thelma Hopkins, one of Dawn.
Oh.
There she is. She's 63 today. Annie Potts, who we were just talking about in the last hour because she was in Ghostbusters. And we were celebrating Ghostbusters, and we were saying, where has Annie Potts been? Well, I know where she's at today. She's hanging out with her family and friends.
She's
celebrating
eating cake.
She's eating cake and celebrating her 59th birthday. So, but she's a good actress. But our movie guy, Chuck, pointed out, we haven't seen her in about 20 years. I'm thinking she's over on the Lifetime channel somewhere. She has to be around. There's no way that she just goes
home.
Maybe
Hallmark.
You know the band New Order? Their drummer, Stephen Morris, is, wow. I remember this is an 80s alt band. He's 54 today. Good Lord. Well, that's a slap in the face. Daphne's Amiga, Victoria on One Tree Hill. 49
she was on
today.
Melrose Place. Do you remember her?
No, which one is she?
She played Jo on Melrose Place. She left the show early.
Yeah, okay. Ooh. And my favorite, Ben Harper.
Oh, yeah, he's good. He's kind of cool, weird guy.
Oh, I'm going to have to let this go for a little bit.
Always have to steal my kisses from you.
I just saw him in concert.
Have to steal my kisses.
I like the bump.
Say it, Ben. Let's hear it.
Always have to steal my kisses from you.
Very Lenny Kravitz, kind of bluesy, a little bit of Hendrix-y. This is the pop stuff.
Always have to steal my kisses from you.
And Ben Harper is 42 today. Guy can put on a show. So if he's in your town, he's touring right now. Check him out. It's Good Day Time. It's 28 past the hour. Merry
Insurrection?
Christmas.
Rebellion? When John Brown launched his raid on Harper's Ferry, newspapers called it an invasion.
The much, much bigger deal that was overshadowed by the events of the Civil War 2 years later.
Now annoyed by his son's ninth grade history book, award-winning journalist Tony Horowitz takes us inside the minds of 18 men who believe something startling was just what the nation needed. I'm Aileen Ellis. This is Primetime Focus.
All of these guys were committed to ending slavery, and they all realized they were probably very well going to their death.
AARP book editor Alan Fallow.
So they wrote final letters to their girlfriends, wives, lovers, etc., and a lot of these documents were found in their pockets.
Brown was also supported by a group called the Secret Six.
John Brown needed a lot of money because he had to buy guns, blankets, tents.
And the book takes us to a secret meeting the abolitionist had with Frederick Douglass, who opposed his plans.
Brown shows up wearing an old slouch hat and a fishing rod. He's clearly in disguise. In fact, that's why he grew that long white beard. And they continue a conversation that they initially started in Springfield, Massachusetts in 1847 about what are the proper methods for ending slavery in the United States.
Ironically, John Wilkes Booth was also inspired by Brown's violent extremism. The book is Midnight Rising, John Brown and the Raid That Sparked the Civil War. That's Primetime Focus, brought to you by AARP. Here are our programs on
the GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike-anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. The main name in military supply.
This is a special announcement for all Americans who owe back taxes to the IRS or state.
Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline set up especially for you. This hotline will give you free information on how you can legally reduce or eliminate your tax debt. Call the Consumer Tax Hotline today at 1-800-652-3707. Grab a pen or put the number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-652-3707. When you call, you will speak with qualified companies that will tell you how to stop the collection calls, IRS letters, bank levies, and wage garnishments. Plus, these companies will deal directly with the IRS on your behalf, so you won't have to. Even if you haven't filed returns or you're already in a payment plan, you can still get relief. The current government administration is very amicable and wants to work out a program in your best interest, but this won't last forever, and your tax problem only gets worse if you do nothing or try to handle it yourself. It does make a big difference in who you call, so call the Consumer Tax Hotline today for free information. 1-800-652-3707. That's 1-800-652-3707.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
I use WebEx anytime I need to meet with clients. With the new WebEx high-quality video, it's like meeting face-to-face.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. How do you use WebEx? Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Gift from you. The world is 33 after the hour now on the Doug Steffen Good Day program. Jennifer and Roberta and Rich and I have all had our connection to Sesame Street. My children grew up, I don't mean literally, well, maybe in a sense. I remember dancing around the house with Megan to this. Can you imagine that, Richie? Can you visualize me dancing around the house?
Absolutely.
Given the fact that we just did all that nice exercise.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Dancing around the house to the Sesame Street music, not just this, but lots of different things. And I learned a lot of things myself, frankly. Are adults supposed to admit that? Roberta, did you learn anything watching Sesame Street? Well, you have both the girls, probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sesame Street.
My daughter and I just last night read her Elmo Lost His Blanket book.
Oh, wow. Poor Elmo.
Poor Elmo. Yeah.
Who was your favorite character?
Well, he kept losing his
Cookie
blanket.
Monster.
Cookie Monster?
What happened to Cookie Monster?
Was like Grover and
Veggie Bernard. Monster now or some?
I like
Veggie Monster.
No, I like the Grouch.
Please.
You like the Grouch.
The reason we're having this conversation is because we're joined by Carol Lynn Parente, who is responsible for overseeing production for this program, which has been on for 42 years. Hard to believe. So, Carol Lynn, you must have grown up. Now, I want to know, without you having, women never want to be asked how old they are, so I'm not going to do that. But you have perhaps the opportunity of being the first person to run the show that grew up watching the show.
That's true. In fact, I did grow up watching the show, and it is sort of surreal now to be guiding the creative vision of the show so many years later.
The reason that Carol Lynn is here, not just because of her being the producer of Sesame Street, she's also the keynote speaker at my alma mater. You all know how much I love Heidelberg University in Ohio. We're on our station, WTTF, there, and she's speaking tonight. We have a lecture series that's aimed at women who have accomplished great things. Twice a year, someone significant from some world, business world, television. But we have people that come into Heidelberg twice a year. And so tonight, Carolyn Parente is speaking to the folks at Heidelberg as part of the Patricia Adams Lecture Series. And I know that it will be a neat thing. I'm just sorry I'm not there. When you talk to people, what do they know and understand about Sesame Street? And what do you find people are surprised to learn about what goes on, either in front of the camera or behind the camera?
Well, I think you can hear just how you started this piece, how the characters, the show just has such affection, whether you grew up on it or it's your grandchildren that know and love the characters. So there's just a real soft spot in people's hearts for the show. And they have, you know, trivia questions and those kinds of things. I think what people don't realize, and that's one of the fun parts about speaking today, is that we're a nonprofit organization. And so I think people see all the toys at the toy store that have our Sesame characters on them and think we are a for-profit company. We do generate quite a bit of revenue, but all of that money gets turned back into our productions here and around the world. And I think that's the other part that people are unfamiliar with, is that we are international. We are in over 140 countries.
Wow. How many languages do you do the show in?
There are 51 different languages.
Wow.
Oh, my
goodness.
Wow.
So are they all produced in the same way, using the same sort of script, or does each entity have its own sort of guidelines as to how to present? Because basically it's a teaching tool.
Well, they just do voiceovers, right, in the different languages.
In some cases, it's the domestic show that gets dubbed into the local language if they can't afford a production of their own. Or depending on the needs. I mean, the great part about what we call co-productions is that those are locally produced. Mm-hmm. So we hire local production companies. We train them in sort of the Sesame model. They have their own directors. We cast their own puppeteers. We create characters that are local for them and choose the curriculum based on what their needs are. So, for instance, in South Africa, we have a character called Cammy, and her purpose was designed to reduce the stigma of living with AIDS, because that is a big curriculum issue in that country.
One of the things that is often said by detractors is that there is a political agenda to Sesame Street as part of the public broadcasting system, if you will. You just said it was not for profit. There are those who, in my estimation, don't get it, but it's okay. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, who think that some children are influenced too much by whatever the subtle messages may be that come through Oscar the Grouch or Bert and Ernie. The recent whole flubbub about Ernie and Bert being gay and that kind of some of the stuff you just have to laugh out loud about. But at any rate, these things come up. And how do you handle, if you're just joining us, Carolyn Peretti is the executive producer for Sesame Street. How do you handle that? Or do you just ignore it?
You know, we're a preschool show with a preschool curriculum, and we've had great success at teaching preschoolers. And we're very proud that we can show success rates so that kids who watch Sesame Street go on to do better, not just in elementary school and high school, but even beyond their formal education years. And so the great thing about Sesame Street is that it really speaks to people in urban communities and rural communities and international communities. And everyone has the ability to interpret what the show means to them, and I think that speaks to the power of a show that can connect to so many people.
Mm-hmm. All right. So earlier today, you may have, when you were driving around with Jim, heard me talking about there's a video at DougStefan.com today, which features a one-year-old using an iPad. And that launched us off into a conversation that I often have, because my research suggests to me that any child under the age of three ought not to be spending much time in front of the television or any kind of screen, because the whatever neurons, however the electrical circuits are in the brain, are not functioning properly yet. And there are many studies that suggest if you have too much exposure to this sort of thing when you're too young, it'll bring about ADD and other problems. So I wonder how that is dealt with, or do we say to parents, don't have your children watch this until they're three?
I think those are parent decisions to make, and certainly, you know, the AMA has their recommendations about what is appropriate for kids and at what age. And we don't make any recommendations on that. The fact of the matter is that parents are exposing their children to media at younger and younger ages. And so while we don't advocate to put your six-month-old in front of a television or an iPad, what we are trying to do is create educational programming, whether it be the iPad or the television or the web or a podcast, so that when you feel it is appropriate to expose your child to media, there is something beneficial and educational there for them.
I don't mean to dominate this. I know Roberta's got her experience and Jennifer does and Richie does. So I'm going to ask one more question and I'll sort of step aside. I find this whole thing fascinating. And by the way, congratulations on all of the Emmys that this program has won. Excuse me. It has broken the Guinness Book of Records for the number of Emmys won by any television series. 138 Emmys for this production. And so in terms of your own preference, you spend 12 hours a day on this show. What character do you like the most? Or is there, you know, there are those who say all the characters represent somebody, some real person. If that's the case, who are you?
Oh, well, you know, growing up, I'll tell you that my favorite character was Grover.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm the mom of all of the characters, I cannot play favorites.
Uh-oh.
So, but the interesting thing, you know, I've worked on the show for 23 years now. So what you discover is that each of those characters has a cult following. And I've learned that you can tell an awful lot about people by who their favorite character was.
Yeah. Right. That's right. I mean, I wasn't being facetious. I always loved Oscar the Grouch, even though...
I always say beware of those Oscar the Grouch fans.
I'm not really grouchy, but I find him and the Cookie Monster, is just such a classic sort of thing there that is fun. And a lot of what goes on, here I am saying I was going to give it to everybody else, but the sorts of humor, there's humor that's directed toward adults, I think. In this.
Absolutely. Yeah. By design, that is from the first season, we were trying to draw in the co-viewing of adults, parents, caregivers, because that helps extend the learning. And the mission is about education. And so if you can extend the learning beyond just the viewing period, we use celebrities and parodies and humor on two levels to bring in the adult viewer.
Yeah, I think somebody told me once that there is a list, a waiting line of celebrities that want to be on. They call you and say, can we be on?
We are very fortunate that we get many, many,
and
many.
And politicians,
requests.
Too, I think, right?
We do get that. We stay away. We try and stay away from that. We have we do have a nice tradition of having first ladies on. So everyone since Barbara Bush has made an appearance.
Oh, cool. All right, so I'm going to step back now. And Richie, or
can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that there are a few geniuses that have graced us with their talent. Mel Blanc being one of them and Jim Henson being the other. And I just wonder what kind of lasting effect Jim Henson still has as you walk down Sesame Street and look at all of those amazing creatures that he helped develop.
That's a good question.
Yeah, you know, it speaks for itself, really. I mean, he was a visionary, and I think you have to credit our founder, Joan Ganz Cooney, for putting together a team of visionaries that created this show that has had such lasting power. So she pulled in Jim Henson, another our original producer, writer, director, John Stone, an amazing visionary that was his idea to create a setting in an urban, real street environment.
Yeah.
Joe Raposo, a musical genius that created that theme that we started off the segment with. So there really were so many. And the educators. The educators and the researchers actually came up with new methodologies to test media education. And so it was an amazing team she put together, and she's an amazing visionary herself.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it really is.
I was going to ask how many writers are involved with the show, because I mean, you guys come up with a lot of fresh content, just years and years and years. How many people, and are there still any original writers on the show?
Yeah, in fact, we have about 10 regular writers and a head writer. We had as many back in the day as maybe 15 or 20 writers at one time, but you know, I cannot emphasize enough, these are the best writers in television. They are geniuses to write segments that appeal to, you know, 22-year-olds, 2-year-olds, 72-year-olds. It's very difficult. And then add the educational element to it. It's no easy task. And, you know, when you audition for the show, we don't take children's show scripts. You have to be able to write sketch comedy. So
Saturday Night Live stuff?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. They're the best comedy writers in the business, and then they translate that comedy to the preschool curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
That must be interesting.
Wow.
All right. Where they start at and then where they end up at.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
All right. Writing a sketch for Alec Baldwin and then going to Sesame Street and writing one for Oscar the Grouch. All right, Roberta, your turn.
My turn. Wow. You know, I want to ask you, you know, the program is all around the world, and obviously there are some cultural differences, and you touched on that a little bit about, you know, the whole thing about AIDS in Africa. In your estimation, what were some of the more unusual things that Sesame Street has had to do to translate the program to other countries?
Wow. You know, it's just so interesting to recognize the cultural differences. So, for instance, Germany, which has had the show for almost as long as the domestic show's been on, they have a completely different need there. They're not interested in sort of the cognitive getting ready for school curriculum. Theirs is a much more pro-social curriculum. Mm-hmm. And when you go from, you know, community to community in these international co-productions, you really want to tailor the content to meet their needs. So, and there's been some amazing, you know, these characters have become ambassadors that open doors. You know, we have a production of Sesame Stories in the Middle East that is, you know, just changing the way people view each other and their world, and a co-production in Northern Ireland. So the effect that these characters can have on a community and the power to promote social change is really amazing.
Do they have to get those approved through you? Do you have total creative control?
yeah, that's my next question.
I just, you know, funny you should ask. I just inherited sort of the oversight of the international department. But in many of the cases of the international productions, we really try and create local creative control. We have oversight issues, but we try to get to a place with these productions where we don't have to read every script, that they really know what their needs are, and we're certainly protecting.
I mean, if the German production company came out with an Oktoberfest puppet that was, you know, going to be sitting back there swilling beer and throwing down, you know, sausages and stuff like that, would you jump in and say anything?
I think we'd have something to say about
okay.
that.
All right, we have one more. We have about a minute left here, Carolyn, and I'm wondering about the state of our educational system in America leaves a lot to be desired, and recently Sesame Street has acknowledged that by doing something different. What is it?
We are focusing on STEM this season, and that really, you know, it doesn't, you don't have to dig too deep to see that it's a crisis in this
science,
country.
Technology, engineering, and math.
Science, technology, engineering, and math.
Yeah,
yeah, and our we're falling way behind in those areas in this country, and it should alarm people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought we'd try and tackle this from a preschool issue. And, gosh, it sort of kicked our butts for a while. We thought, how are we going to teach this to preschoolers? But that's what we do. We bring in advisors. And when you break this curriculum down, it's really just about observing, asking questions, testing out, you know, your hypothesis. And that's really physical and active. And it's actually just how preschoolers navigate their worlds.
I wish we had another hour to yak about this. One of the things that also I think is part of what I'm sensing is going on is the dealing with the physicality of youth and what's going on. So many youngsters are so obese now, and that has to be a problem. So at any rate, Carolyn Parente is the speaker tonight. Those of you who are in Tiffin or Northwest Ohio, you would love to meet this lady and hear what she has to say. 7 o'clock tonight at Heidelberg University's Patricia Adams Lecture Series. You can call the school or go online. Actually, if you go online to heidelberg.edu, I think you would get some more info. Very nice having you here, Carolyn Parente from Sesame Street on Good Day.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you can be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
A deal by the EU spills over and creates a wonderful day on Wall Street. I'm David Weiss, and this is News That Matters. The EU, which stands for European Union, announced a deal yesterday aimed at reducing Greece's debt. If you've been following the financial news from Europe, you're well aware the massive economic problems in Greece have led to fears of a domino effect that could ruin the European economy and spread worldwide, and that includes us, of course. But this deal announced yesterday is seen as a very good thing. President Obama's reaction:
I'm glad to see that progress was made in the recent meetings. I think it is a important first step.
As the president said, it is just a first step, with the pressure now on the EU to follow through.
The key now is to make sure that it is implemented fully and decisively, and I have great confidence in the European leadership to make that happen.
This agreement will reportedly see private banks voluntarily reduce Greece's debt by 50%. The European Financial Stability Facility will also be allowed to provide much larger guarantees for bonds issued by various nations. China is also entering the game, expressing some interest in backing the newly announced special investment plan. As we mentioned at the top, all of this led to a very good day on Wall Street. We'll have more about that in a moment. But first, Donald Trump wants to chime in, offering his opinion on this deal.
At some point, the Germans are going to get a little bit tired of taking care of the Greek problems. But right now, it's good for us, and whatever's good for us, I'm happy about.
And Donald, if you're happy, then we're happy. Now, here's something else that will matter to you.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with GEICO along with their car. GEICO's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say so and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call GEICO or visit GEICO.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
If you've never experienced gel-in with Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles,
you've never walked all the way to work on top of cushy throw pillows,
or worked a jackhammer while standing in a field of beautiful daisies.
That's because gel-in does more than change the way you feel. It changes your state of mind.
So I can teach my class while enjoying the soft white sand under my feet.
Experience outrageous comfort for yourself. Just go to Walmart and look for Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. Are you gelling?
I'm glad I have feet.
It was a spectacular day on Wall Street, the Dow closing with a 339-point gain to 12,209. The first time in months the Dow ended above the 12,000 mark. S&P up 43, NASDAQ with an 88-point gain. Oil prices up $3.76 a barrel, finishing at just under $94. Well, the space shuttle program may be all done, but NASA is still launching things. Let's count it down. 4, 3, 2,
main engine start, 1, 0, and liftoff of the Delta II with the NPP satellite, blazing the way, a new technology for climate research and weather forecasting.
NASA with a successful launch of its first satellite designed to collect data on long-term global climate change and short-term weather conditions. The launch occurred just before dawn at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California on schedule at 2:48 a.m. Pacific time. Did you catch that World Series game last night? Game 6 in St. Louis, the Cardinals had to win to force a seventh game, otherwise Texas would win it all. The Cards twice down to their last strike and trailing by 2 runs twice in the ninth and tenth innings and came back each time. Game-winning homer from St. Louis native David Freese.
You know, I felt like I was a part of a circus out there bouncing balls off my top of my hat.
Freese with the game-tying 2-run triple with 2 outs and 2 strikes in the bottom of the ninth and the game-winning homer in the bottom of the 11th. 10-9 the final. There will be a Game 7 tonight in St. Louis, Cardinals and Rangers, to win it all. And finally, guess who turns 125 today? She's quite a lady, nicknamed Lady Liberty, our Statue of Liberty, which was originally dedicated on October 28, 1886. Dave Stack is a park ranger who works on Liberty Island. He says there'll be a big party there today, along with a rededication ceremony.
We're going back to some of the wonderful events that happened here 125 years ago. Including actually descendants of Grover Cleveland's family. We're also having a couple of representatives from France coming over.
Oh, yeah, the French. They're not getting the statue back, by the way. Dave Stack also offers this tidbit. The Statue of Liberty is not the official name of the statue.
Her title is not Statue of Liberty.
All right, then what is it?
The full title given by her artist, Frederic Auguste Bartoli, is Liberty Enlightening the World.
Lady Liberty to us, and she's never looked better. I'm David Weiss, and that's the news that matters.
Women move the world, and Caltrate helps move them.
I asked my gram to sponsor me in her walkathon.
And I said, okay, but she'd have to sponsor me back, because I'm walking too.
Caltrate provides the essential calcium that helps keep bones strong and muscles moving. Caltrate gives us 1,200 milligrams of calcium and 800 IU of vitamin D.
We'll do the full 5 miles.
And do it together.
Caltrate helps women keep moving, because women move the world.